with a dog in a field.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We just finished up talking to Patrice O'Neill about the shooting in Oak Creek 10 years ago and the anniversary of that. And as I said at the top of the show, it's kind of a mental health theme today because obviously we started with how psychedelics could potentially help with mental health. Obviously, in the wake of shootings like that, how you deal with your own mental health. And now, this morning, I actually saw, was it this morning or yesterday, that Tony Evers, Governor Tony Evers, has allocated $14 million of federal funds towards mental health services. About $9 million of that is going to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and is intended to expand the health mental health care workforce, of which we have a shortage, and then another $5 million to bolster youth psychiatric services, and which is great, which is obviously
needed.
But one of the things in kind of juxtaposition to that headline that I saw is the Cap Times this week produced or reported on an article that was titled "It's Okay to Not Be Okay: Farmers Open Up About Mental Health Concerns." And I feel like farmers, especially farmers in Wisconsin, it's almost in the same bucket as veterans, where everyone loves the farmers in Wisconsin. And it's such, you know, it's a point of pride. And I think politicians talk about them and you kind of use their stories as a platform to sometimes get elected. And then the actual realities of what especially smaller family farmers are dealing with, including their mental health, is something that is just entirely overlooked. And thanks to an article, like this is a really, I recommend everyone to go read this Cap Times article because it's excellent. But being not an expert at all on farming, I certainly did not grow up on a farm. We wanted to try to get someone on the phone who could talk more about this issue. And so our guest now is Pam Yonke, who is from the Midwest Farm Report. And your relationship with Jane, because Jane was like, I think I can get Pam on the phone. So thank you for joining us at such a short notice. And so happy to have you here.
Oh, my pleasure. This is in my wheelhouse. This is all I do. So happy to be part of the conversation.
Absolutely. And so, you know, my kind of extent of my knowledge on this is reading this article then, and it specifically the article profiles Jeff Ditzenberger and the group that he started that is called TUGS, which is an acronym for Talking, Understanding, Growing, and Supporting. And it sounds like it's one of many mental health wellness nonprofit organizations that are set up to help specifically farmers. And so is this a new, is addressing these issues something that is relatively new?
Oh, most definitely. And Ditz is a good friend of mine. Oh. He's been having this. He's been having, remember, agriculture in Wisconsin, despite it being a big industry, we're a small group of folks. So I've known Ditz for a long time, and he shared his story with me long before he formed TUGS. But it is a perfect example of how in agriculture today, to a large extent, we still don't talk about things like mental health. Mm-hmm. That is still in many circles taboo, which makes it all the more difficult to not only try to get resources to people, but figure out what kind of resources rural Wisconsin and our farming community needs. There are a lot of people that have been touched by it, but again, you don't talk about it. I remember before the pandemic, when mental health was getting just a little bit of attention, there was a group that formed up in the Loganville area, kind of the Sauk Richland County area, and it happened because a church had one of their farmers in the community kill themselves, and it was such a shock to that church community that they decided they had to have a conversation. Well, the catch was nobody wanted to have their cars be seen in the parking lot. Nobody wanted to be physically recognized for actually attending those meetings. So the stigma was very real. If you talk to other specialists that have been working in the field for a while, one thing that becomes very, very clear about farmers in rural Wisconsin, the threat to mental health, is there's a couple staples that make us vulnerable. First of all, it's partly that stigma I just told you about. It's also the fact that in agriculture, we are very comfortable with firearms. Most every farmer hunts, so there's guns around the farm. The second thing is we're very comfortable with alcohol. It's part of our getting together celebrating the harvest, weddings, whatever. And those two components, if you, you know, talk to Sue from the Iowa County Suicide Prevention Coalition, those are the kinds of elements that sometimes go unnoticed by politicians, by those that provide community resources. Like you said on the outset, people just think farmers are so strong, they persevere, they do battle with Mother Nature every year, and they always stick to it. Well, we're starting to learn more how fragile they can be with their mental health. Farmers today work alone. That concept that people have of the family farming, in many cases, just isn't, it's not the way it is. It's not a reality. The wife may move, may work off farm so that there's health benefits available to the family. Kids, I mean, come on. How many of your kids are interested in physical labor? If they can do video games, and now with the competitive markets for fast food, a lot of kids from the farm would rather go work at a fast food chain and have a check as opposed to being out there helping to feed calves or do chores. So farmers are working a lot of hours by themselves. The only people they may see in a day, the mailman, the milkman, maybe the UPS driver, and that is it. So there's that issue of isolation. So, yeah, like I said, it became very apparent during the pandemic when everybody's world got turned upside down that farmers needed more than just our admiration. In many cases, they needed professional help to try to right the ship and stay actively engaged in agriculture.
And how readily available is help, though? I mean, I think we talk about it, how many hospitals across Wisconsin have shut down and been consolidated into, you know, there's, you have to drive to Marshfield or you have to drive to like the bigger hubs to actually get physical, you know, health care, let alone mental health care. And so how much of that, just the access to even talking to someone, even now that the problem is starting to get talked about, are there enough resources to even address it?
Well, and you make a very good point. Farmers are a face-to-face bunch.
You mean they're not great on Zoom yet?
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was going to say. You got to remember, first of all, a good 50% of my rural audience doesn't have access to high-speed internet.
Yeah.
A lot of my people, I'd say at least 40%, their smartphones don't work because there's not enough band out there. So what you take for granted in the suburban-urban arena is so far from what we can access in rural Wisconsin. And we are still very much a face-to-face kind of group, which was compounded during the pandemic. Farmers are about community. We love to get together at church. We love to get together at school functions. We love to get together at the FFA alumni meetings. We love to get together at the county fair. All of those social gatherings where we would be able to vent some of our frustrations and, you know, handle things, all of a sudden it's gone. And that was really difficult for a lot of my farmers to deal with. Never been there before. Always had somebody I could, you know, go see. Well, now they don't want to see me because everybody's scared. So suddenly, and everybody is trying to do what they think is best. They have the farmer's best interest in mind. But all of a sudden, we start creating 800 services. You know, call this 800 number. Well, It's not face-to-face. And one counselor that I talked to said, I advise anybody that's so fast to kick out those 800 numbers, call that 800 number first and find out what you're really getting on the other end of the line. Do the answer. You know, 800 services aren't necessarily just 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
If you're in a critical mental meltdown, you need somebody to answer. When you call, do they really understand agriculture, or is it just an answering service, basically? So I thought he made a really good point. Don't just start kicking out 800 numbers like you're helping people if you haven't called it yourself. So all of a sudden, we came up with a laundry list of 800 numbers that were available to farmers. Now, to the credit of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they recognized how different the rural audience, the farming audience, was when it comes to specific tools they needed. So we've always had the Wisconsin Farm Center hotline available. That was created probably 20 years ago when agriculture commodity prices really hit the skids. Interest rates were incredibly high, and There just was nobody else out there that understood the situation. The hotline became a critical tool for farm families, including wives, to call when they started noticing him acting differently, him spending a lot of time alone in the barn in the machine shed, him drinking more than he normally ever would, not talking to people, changes like that that worried a wife or a partner, suddenly they could call the hotline. So that service has been a part of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's assistance for a long time. Well, during the pandemic, we recognized that we had to step the game up more than was available to the limited staff at Department of Ag. So then they began basically a 24-hour farmer wellness program. And what this is designed to do is provide vouchers for counselors in rural communities so that farmers don't have to try to come out of pocket. That's the other thing. A lot of farmers do not have health insurance. They don't have benefits. They're flying by the seat of their pants with minimums and very, very high deductibles, so they're squeamish about tapping into those kind of services, so the vouchers give them a chance to have a conversation with counselors. And I know that many of the counselors that are part of that farmer wellness program are also ready to go to the farm. If they get a sense that this is urgent, that this person needs to physically see somebody, they will drop and go to that farm. And I give them all the credit in the world for that dedication. And then the Farmer Wellness Program also is about physical wellness. Sometimes taking a walk with the farm dog down a country road can do wonders. But farmers don't always think about it that way. They consider themselves very active because they're up in the tractor, they're feeding cows, they're milking cows, they're physically doing stuff, and they think that's enough. But the Farmer Wellness Program helps them understand the difference between that work physical activity and just taking a stroll and decompressing through the day. So we have come up with a lot of services.
Yeah.
I think that there's still a lot of people that are hesitant to use them for the shame, the stigma. But like I said, to the credit of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they really did rise fairly quickly, especially during the pandemic, to try to get resources to those that need.
That was, you're right. This is your wheelhouse. That was so much information. Thank you so much for joining us. I feel like this will not be the last time I ask you to come on this show, and you'll be able to come back for more time with Jane and I. But Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report, thank you so much for providing all of that information and insight on farmers and their mental wellness.
My pleasure.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back after this break.